Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. For a limited time, visit casper.com/savings and receive up to $200 off your purchase of $2,000 or more. This special offer begins February 9th and expires February 20th, 2018. Today on Know-How,
FPV, all of the drone things.
Know-How is Control, where we build, bend, break, and control remotely. I am Father Robert Ballasaire.
I'm Jason Howell, ready to control remotely.
Iris, that's what we will be doing with the things that we do.
Yeah.
Now, we've been doing a drone series. We took a week off because you decided to research the flu.
I dove deep into the flu, deep into the archives of the flu to see what the flu is all about.
Do you feel like you have more understanding of the part of the flu? Do you know what's coming from?
I can say from experience the flu sucks.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It does. It's weird because the flus that hit really hard and that like knock you off your feet, those typically last like 3 days and then you're done. Like 3 days in bed and then you're good. This is one of those longer-lasting flus.
Well, and it was accompanied at the end, after I thought I was getting better, with vertigo, which I've had before. Ow. What I found out last night, I thought this was interesting. My wife treats a lot of clients in her practice, and one of her clients is an ER doctor. And he says that the strain of flu that's going around right now in many people is accompanied by vertigo afterwards. So not necessarily the kind of vertigo where the crystal in your ear moves out of place and that throws you off whack. It's not the kind that you can correct with an Epley maneuver or do these things that they'll you know put you through if you go to the ER. It's literally just attached to the flu. So surprise, you got a week full of fun if you get the flu.
Yeah, we have very different definitions of fun. Actually, it is kind of fun for me because when I get sick, that's when I binge. So I don't really watch TV.
Yeah.
When I got sick, I watched all of the new series of Doctor Who. I watched all of Ghost in the Shell again.
Yeah.
And then I actually started watching the new Star Trek series. So,
I started the new Netflix series. What is it? The Carbon.
Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon.
I did one that you didn't like. What was the Isaac Asimov one?
Oh, the one on Amazon?
Yeah.
The sheep.
Electric sheep. Yeah. There was like one or two decent episodes, but I was with you. Yeah. By the time I got to the end, I'm like,
I didn't get to the end.
Sorry.
I gave up. Anyways, are we talking about like science fiction shows
No,
today?
We are not. Well, actually, kind of, because some of the stuff we're going to be doing today is
total
sci-fi. Yeah. And actually, it calls back to my bro, Cranky Hippo, you know, Brian Burnett, who used to be the co-host of the show.
And love you, man.
Yeah, we love you. Ooh, we miss you. But Brian and I love flying drones, and he always wanted to put FPV on our favorite little trainers. We loved these things because, I mean, let's be honest, we would crash them into each other. That was our thing. And they're basically indestructible. I've never had to replace props. I have had to replace motors because I burnt them out. But there was always this idea of, can we put FPV on something this small? And at the time, the answer was no. Just because the gear required to do it was just too heavy. It required too much power. But that has changed. And so I built a little something-something for my bro. Hopefully I'm going to give him a version of it later on. We'll get to that in just a bit. But first, Jason, let's go ahead and start it off with a little bit of feedback. We promised we would do this more often. We've got a question from a member of our audience. In fact, from Mr. William B. He actually told me, please don't show my full name or my email. So he's kind of paranoid. I like that. That's a trust no one. But what does William want?
It says, I am excited that you have brought drones back to Know-How. I watched when you did drones in 2015, but only recently have I been getting very much into designing and building my own. I started with the trainer you suggested and have graduated to 250 and 450 class quads, but now I want FPV. I've been looking at some options, and they all look either too expensive or too complicated. excuse me. I'm not sure if I want goggles because I actually like to see my drone in addition to being able to see from the drone. What are my options? What would you suggest for a budget of somewhere around $200, up to $200, I'd say?
Great question. And actually, William, thank you for bringing this up because this is one of those things. After people fly for a while, they all think, well, the next step,
What's the next step? Yeah.
It's got to be the goggles, right? Because it's like I'm sitting inside the drone. I'm in the cockpit. I'm piloting. Kind of. Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, it's not quite that, right? Like, it's still just a screen that's in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
It's not like suddenly you're transported to this virtual but real reality.
And that's actually, that exactly is what shapes my answer to this. Because I could just say, oh, here are three drone systems that are phenomenal and you're going to love them. And then you might be a little bit disappointed in the effect because, I mean, when you're flying a wireless system, you're going to get cutouts. It's the picture is going to be kind of shaky. It's not going to be super high def. That's just the limitation of the technology. So I thought the way I wanted to answer this is to give you sort of the FPV 101. Let's start you very basic, and then let's show you some of the things that you can do. You said you already had the SEMA trainer. I would actually suggest you start FPV with that, because if you start FPV with a craft that is nearly indestructible and that won't hurt anyone, you are far more likely to master FPV flight than if you had something that broke every single time you touched a wall or hit the ground too hard.
Yeah. If you could do it on this, you could do it on anything. That sort of mentality.
Precisely. And again, I got a call back to my bro, Cranky Hippo. In fact, I'm sure Alex at some point is going to find the old video clips that we used to run with Cranky Hippo. Because he always used to think things would go crazy and out of control in the studio.
The show is out of control.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's amazing. But let's go ahead and kick it off. Let's break down some of the knowledge that we're going to need for this.
All right.
These are some of the pieces that I would suggest you get yourself in order to get an FPV. The first thing is actually, well, maybe a little bit surprising. If you don't want to use goggles, if you kind of want to have the option of not going that route, the nice thing about FPV systems is they've all basically agreed on 5.8 gigahertz. So, and they use the same encoding in the same channels. So any piece of 5.8 gigahertz gear is going to work with most of the other 5.8 gigahertz pieces of gear. That's nice. You want that because it means you can mix and match and you can change your setup depending on what kind of flight that you want. Mm-hmm. You just want to fly around your house? Okay, maybe that's one set. You want to fly competitively? Maybe you now add the goggles. But you can reuse all the support equipment you've already bought, which I like. Because we like the Lego, the modularity style of FPV. This is a little something that I kind of like. This is the Isshin. It's got a long name. It's an OTG receiver. Now, the whole idea of this is this receiver actually works on your phone. So if you're looking for a way to not use goggles, this is actually a really good way to do it. It's got this OTG cable, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm using a specific type of phone. This is actually an LG phone. The reason why I'm using this LG phone is I need something, an Android device, that has a very specific protocol. It's called UVC, USB Video Class.
Oh,
and
okay.
Unfortunately, a lot of Android devices don't have that.
Explain that technology. What is that exactly?
It allows me to put a video signal into the phone through
and just deliver it into the screen.
Deliver
like overtake any of the UI.
No, no. It goes in through an app. So
oh,
the app
I see,
opens
I see.
Up.
Gotcha.
It basically becomes a device driver,
and
then allows you to connect up any UVC camera. So, for example, I have that little borescope that you could put into your ear or cylinders. I've got this. I've got three other UVC devices. Unfortunately, they don't work with any of my more advanced phones. I had to get this LG, which was a freebie from a T-Mobile offer that was on Slick Deals. But the nice thing about this, let's turn that brightness down just a tiny tad. The nice thing about this is it actually does allow me to use UVC devices. So I'm going to go ahead and plug this. Actually, let me put an antenna on that thing first. I'm going to go ahead and plug in a receiver here. And then I'm going to activate the UVC driver on this phone, this is backwards.
Like here.
This is kind of confusing. They look like the exact same cable, but it won't work in one direction. So if it doesn't work, just plug it in the other way around. If you go to the link for this, Alex, this is not that expensive. This is a $23 device. And I get this from Banggood. And then I'm going to go back into this phone, and I'm going to go ahead and tell it to use the USB. And there we go. So right now, what you're seeing is there's nothing connected to it because there's nothing transmitting. Let me fix that.
I got the sound effects, by the way.
Actually, you know, this generation, they didn't grow up with over-the-air TV. So they might not know what you're doing right now.
That's true.
They might go,
that's
why
called white noise, ladies and gentlemen.
We used to wake up companies. To it when you'd leave your TV on.
Yes.
So what we've got now is we've actually
look
got...
at that.
Yeah, so that's the feed from this little camera. And actually, if you go to the direct feed, Alex, there we go. It's not great.
Okay.
I mean, so this is kind this of a cheapy transmitter with a cheapy camera.
We were talking before. This is like 1990s, three generations of VHS dubs.
Whoa! And then pretend like I'm flying FPV.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it's like a Spitfire. Okay. So, yeah, this is what we're dealing with right now. But if you go back to the overhead... the nice thing about this is if you do it this way, you can use one of these super basic additions to your transmitter where it actually just puts the phone right on top of the transmitter. So that becomes my screen. So I can fly.
Neat.
Of course, I probably wouldn't have put it upside down. But I can fly with my my screen here. So I can keep my eyes on my drone, but every once in a while look down and see what's coming out of the front of the craft.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's not bad. That's the UVC version. Again, not that expensive, but it does require you to have a phone that supports USB video class. So you may want to check first to make sure that your phone actually does that. Otherwise, you're going to be like me and look for a cheapie.
I love the quality of this, if anything, because people in the digital video realm are trying to replicate this with
amazing,
plugins
right?
and tools and
expensive
stuff.
Expensive plugins.
Yes. Here it is.
Super expensive plugins to get this effect.
You don't need to replicate it. You've got it.
In fact, David Hewlett was he did
exactly.
that the retro remake of Automan.
Yeah, the Hewlett-gram.
And they needed some hardware to be able to duplicate that. I could just run it through this thing.
Yep. See?
In fact, you
solved.
Know what? We could run all of Twit like this.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
let's do a whole day worth
awesome.
Of content
that's
like
awesome.
That.
Okay, but we are going to need a transmitter. Now, the transmitter that I'm using on this is actually not bad. If you go to the link for this, I can use it with multiple types of cameras. This is the Yixin TX526. Again, 5.8 gigahertz, 40 different channels, 3 output power levels, 20, 200, or 600 milliwatts. And you can transmit audio and video, although if you're on a drone and you're transmitting audio... It's just the annoying drone of the prop, so maybe you don't. And this will operate on 7 to 24 volts, which is nice because it means it basically can operate on any battery I've currently got on my quadcopter.
Okay.
Now, the nice thing about this is I can mix and match cameras. I've got an okay camera on this. This is like a $30 camera. Some people like to put really nice cameras, and it does make a difference. When you get good optics and a nice clear sensor, it looks beautiful. But the problem is when you crash... You just destroyed an expensive camera.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to just start out and you really want to use this kind of a setup, please buy yourself some cheapies. Break the cheapies before you go with the expensive stuff. There's another problem with this. If you look at this, this is about as small as I can make it. So I've got my camera, I've got my transmitter, and I've got a battery source, assuming that I don't want to suck power from the main battery that I'm using to power my quad. This is a lot.
Yeah, that is. Especially when you, hold up a SEMA next to it. And
this is actually heavier than this entire craft.
I know, that thing is so light compared to what that looks
and
like.
This is where we were stuck. So when Brian and I were still doing these projects, this was about as small as we could get it, and it required too much power and too much cargo capacity to be on the SEMA. But this is an actual decent option. Let me go ahead and disconnect this because I'm going to be showing you something else in just a bit. Now, we go from that... to the Yixin 5.8 gigahertz receiver. If you go to the thing for this, this is a super simple receiver. In fact, if you go and cut to the you can't cut to it. I just killed the video source. When Alex went to the direct source, that's what I'm using. I'm using one of these RC832s.
Okay.
Super inexpensive, about $15. But here's the fun thing about FPV: if I've got a transmitter, I can have as many receivers as I want. So I can have it going to a TV screen that people can look at while I'm flying. I could have my goggles on so I can see it. I can use the UVC for someone who just wants to see what I'm doing.
Right.
And once you've got that broadcast energy in the air, you can have multiple receivers getting that energy and turning it back into video signal. So it's kind of cool. Pick a couple of those up. Again, it's nice to have different tools in your toolbox so that you can customize it to fly the way that you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The last thing, actually not the last thing, but one of the last things I want to show you is something that is going to enable us to FPV Arcimas, and that is this. You go ahead and go to the overhead, Alex.
It's a Barbie camera.
Yeah. I get
it's Barbie's, a Barbie DSLR.
Barbie's first camera. This is going to enable what Brian and I wanted so long ago. This is an Yixin TX01. They call it the super mini transmitter and camera. This is actually the whole setup.
Wow.
So this has got the camera, the transmitter, the antenna, all in one. The nice thing about this is this can actually be run on 3.3 all the way up to 5 volts. So the same battery that I use on my SEMA can power this little thing. It combines all the elements that you need. And this whole thing weighs about 3 grams. It's not that heavy, which means that I can create a mount for it, and it should still be light enough to fly on right. my SEMA.
Could the SEMA even lift up this whole compartment based
close.
On weight?
No.
Even if you were able to do an elegant mount with it and such?
No. Not even close. I mean, it might like start to lift one corner
right.
of it, and
but
then... No.
What's the point?
Yeah. Or what you might be able to do is like do a zoom,
yeah,
and it would go up, and then it would just slowly settle back down to the ground. This will actually fly. I mean, it will take away performance because anytime you add weight
right.
to a quadcopter, you take away performance.
But, I mean, let's be real. This is hardly anything.
Yeah. Hardly anything.
That's really cool.
Now, one last thing, and I know you said you weren't sure about goggles, but they are a lot better than they were when Brian and I first started with this. This is a SkyZone. This is a cheapy brand. If you go to that last link there, Alex, this is about the same. It's the Yixin EV100. It's about $100. 5.8 gigahertz. And again, this will work with all the gear we've already shown off. And like you, I don't necessarily like using goggles because it cuts off my peripheral vision. And it really,
right.
I mean, if you don't like VR goggles.
You got to be really confident about your flying ability to like cut off your that peripheral vision and just go entirely in these goggles.
Precisely. Oh, what I do like about this is this has a button right here which switches from the wireless input. So the receiver, to a little camera in front. So you can actually, without removing the goggles, you can hit a button and actually see out the front.
Okay.
That's not bad. Not great, but it's not bad.
Better than not.
But that's what you didn't. You didn't come here for all that. That's cool. That's awesome sauce. But you really wanted to see us FPV fly something. And I think we can do that. So I've got the Extreme. This is actually the very first quadcopter, toy quadcopter that we got. I reviewed this so long ago. They didn't want it back because I almost destroyed it. But this is a SEMA. They all look the same. They work the same. They have interchangeable parts, the same design. This just has a different color scheme. I needed to design something to take this and mount it on that in some semi-elegant way. Now, I could be a total slob and just use double-sided tape and stick it to the front.
That's what I'd do.
But no, we wanted to make a slip-on way for people to do this. So I did a little design, as I'm apt to do.
Yep.
And I threw something together in the 3D world that I think might help us out. So I designed this. If you go to the overhead, this is just a raft. So there's two parts here. This part is the part that will hold the FPV transmitter. And it's designed to hold it out from the nose of the craft. This part right here... That's actually the battery holder because I want a separate battery, a smaller battery, for my camera because I don't want to soak the main battery. Because what could happen is I get to a point where the battery cuts out. The craft is still in the air because that's enough to drive the motors, but it's not enough to drive the FPV camera, and suddenly I've gone blind.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad ways because now it's a hazard. And so when I break it off the raft, it looks like this. So those are my components. This is my battery holder. And this is my FPV camera holder. A way I've designed it, and this was all done in Tinkercad, and by the way, the files are going to be available immediately in the show notes, so just go to the show notes, and you can just print yourself up a set. This will go like this, and this one will go like that. And they actually fit precisely in the holes that the landing gear was mounted.
Dang, look at you. You know what you're doing.
All right. So when you put the landing gear on this thing, it's actually going to hold those components to the bottom of the craft.
That looks great.
Well, let's actually see how this works. So let's put this over to the side a little bit. I'm going to take my little FPV camera. I'm going to need one thing for it. I'm going to need a zip tie because I didn't want to glue this thing in.
Yeah.
This is so fragile. Because I didn't want to put too much weight into it. It means you're probably going to break a couple of these if you hit really, really hard. But thankfully, they only take about 30 minutes to print.
There's not a whole lot here.
And the thing is,
and they're protected by the landing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, unless you hit something at a weird angle, right. Nothing's going to be able to come in far enough to destroy the camera. But this super simple installation, very technical, by the way, if you go to the side view, you put the camera in that little slot there, which is it's custom built. This actually could almost hold it. I just made it a little loose so that I had a little room to jostle it around to get the right angle. And then the zip tie just goes over, like so, over, under, and around.
Make sure you don't block the
camera.
The camera.
Yeah, that would definitely affect the effectiveness.
Not be very good.
Yeah, that would be no good. Yeah.
In fact, it would be bad.
Yeah, bad, bad. My dad lets me fly FPV on the Sundays. All right, so, and then just cut off the excess. And again, because weight is our enemy. And you don't want anything hanging on there that doesn't have to be. That's it. So that right there, I now have my FPV mount. Let's go ahead and put this thing on. So I'm going to flip this over. Let me put a fresh battery into the craft first. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to use the smaller capacity batteries just because I'm going to be adding weight. So anywhere I can save weight is better. This battery is way, way too small for this craft, but I'm going to do it anyways because, again, I would like to fly a little bit fast. All right, so let's get the skids out. This is going to go in the front of the craft like so. All I'm going to do is take my little landing gear, and they go straight through those holes.
Now, this is obviously creating a little bit of extra space, but these are able to insert through enough to stay still pretty pretty locked into place.
That's not going to go anywhere. Right. And if you really worry about it, you could put a tiny bit of rubber cement to add to the friction. Yeah. That's what I've done in the past, but you don't need it unless it gets really sloppy, really loose.
Right.
All right, so let's put in the other side.
Does it make it hard to put the battery cover back on?
I took the battery cover off because that's weight. And you'll notice I also took that other camera off because that's weight and I don't need it.
Okay.
Anytime you can take things off, that's performance or time in the air.
Right.
Because you're fighting against that mass. That's what's sucking out all the power.
And this is meant to be more of like a balance, a counterbalance, is that right?
Well, it's to hold the battery here.
Oh, right. See, okay, so that goes to the battery for the actual
and
camera.
It's just a friction hold. I mean, if I shake this hard enough, that will actually fall out. But now I can do this. Okay, now, Alex, if you go ahead and switch to the fly feed.
Let's see.
Yeah. Go away. So let's take it for a spin.
What?
Something just said
something. Oh, Siri, go away. Seriously, Siri.
Siri was concerned.
Huh? Did you need me? I'm here. Did you need me?
Okay, so, Alex, if you go ahead and switch to the feed. Let's see. Actually,
nice.
Hold on. Let's see, shall we?
The resolution open that door, Bert? Is remarkable. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So now Padre is flying without any sort of line of sight of the
actual. I have no idea where this thing is.
Drone, that is cool.
go bug Megan. Go bug Megan. Okay, let's go get Megan.
Let's go.
Oh, the door.
Oh no. Oh no.
Burke. I need reverse hands, Burke. Thank you.
All right. Oh my goodness! Wow, that's awesome, man.
Dang. Let's see how fast we can go. Okay, I deserved that. That was totally on me.
Oh man, that's so awesome,
right?
Though.
And the nice thing about this is less than $50 worth of parts. So I mean, for $50, thank you, Burke. Can you bring it back? Oh, it came off.
Oh no!
Did I knock it off? I did. this is why you print spares.
Screws.
Spare screws. So What I'd like to do, though, is I'd like to put you in the goggles.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right.
And let's you know, you can just fly it around in here to see if you can get the hang of it. But so this is the, you know, this is the quad that you've already bought. This is your trainer, and now it becomes your FPV trainer, because flying FPV is flying FPV is very different, especially with a wide angle lens, because it always seems like things are closer than they actually are. You know what would help if I actually turn those on?
Well, I just thought it was dark.
Let me get the battery for it.
Okay, I need the battery.
The battery does help. Here we go. So I'm going to come around.
It's a very sexy piece of technology.
It is, right?
With these little things hanging out.
Oh, it's sexy.
At the front.
Okay, if you go and put that in your pocket.
Maybe don't wear these if you're trying to impress somebody.
There we go.
Okay. This battery isn't going to explode in my pocket, right?
Now you should be able to see out the front of the craft when you put those on.
Okay, let me fasten this technology to my head.
Can you see?
Yep, I can see.
Okay, there's little knobs or sliders underneath each of the eye cups where you can adjust the focus if you're having a little problem with that.
No, actually, it's looking pretty dialed in.
Okay, let me go ahead and sync this. I'm going to put this in the center of the studio here.
Oh, gosh. I'm feeling the pressure already.
Actually, let's put it this way so people get a better view of what's going on.
I mean, you had to be really aware, and I'm sure this comes through experience. You have to be really aware of the kind of diameter around the camera.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is the safe zone versus,
right.
You know.
And that's why it's not exactly seeing what a pilot would see, because you don't have any peripheral vision. It's a wide-angle lens, but doesn't help. All right, so I'm going to hand you this. There you go.
Okay.
Okay, let's...
that was accidental. Oh, gosh, this is going to be spectacularly bad.
This could be fantastic!
Okay. Sorry, Twit Studio.
Forward. Hey, not bad! You've already crashed less than I have.
Oh, it kind of makes you a little sick.
Yeah. Well, because your eyes are seeing movement, but your body's not moving. It's the same thing as using a VR headset.
Did I tell you?
Not bad.
Did I tell you I had vertigo?
Not bad at all, Jason.
Man, that's
actually here, Jason. Go ahead, spin up the props a little bit. Let me show people. If you go ahead and go to the feed, the rec feed. You're pretty awesome, Jason. Oh, dang. Whoa.
You had me fooled there for a second. I was like, wow, look at me go. Hey, there I am. I'm going to just stop here and look around a little bit and lower it.
And then the customary crash.
Oh, I didn't deserve that. Wow, okay,
so
that's not bad.
That is FPV. And this is FPV on a budget, and this is FPV on a trainer, which is what you want.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hey,
I'm just flying my drone around.
If people don't think we look cool, it doesn't matter. We know we're cool.
We know we're cool.
So, and that I dedicate to my bro, Cranky Hippo.
Nice.
See,
that is really
finally,
cool.
We finally have an FPV setup that we can install
on
our trainers.
I love it.
Now, next up, Jason.
Yeah.
I think it's time for us to actually maybe train you a little bit on flying.
I've been training myself a little bit with the SEMA. I took it out in my backyard yesterday and scared myself a couple of times, scared my dog.
I'm going to show you a couple of exercises, some basic exercises, because flying a drone is just like any other skill. You got to do it again and again, repeat it again and again, so that you kind of get that muscle memory, that association between what you see and what you do.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, learning a video game for the first time.
Right.
Okay. We're going to get to that in just a second. But first, folks, what we need to do is I need to find where all the wind has blown the ad copy for this this episode of Know How. We do want to thank our sponsor for this episode of Know How because, well, they do something very important. That is, they help you to get sleep. Did you know that the average human spends more than 80% of their lifetime in bed?
I did know that.
That's actually not true at all.
Okay.
That's something I just made up.
But, I know. I knew that
but
to
it's,
not be true.
It's about a third of their life in
bed.
A
lot of time.
And it's amazing how many people don't think that buying a good bed is a good investment. You spend so much of your time, more of your time in bed than you do in your car, and yet people are willing to put up with lumpy mattresses and nasty setups and beds that are too small or too firm or too soft. Well, you can bid all of that farewell with Casper. Now, this episode is brought to you by a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Of course, I'm talking about Casper. For a limited time, Casper is going to offer you something wonderful. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But let me tell you a few of the things that we have found about Casper, a few of the things that we have loved about the products that they brought to our network over the year. They're an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. And they're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and then passing the savings directly to you, the consumer. Now, you're invited to take advantage of Casper's competitive limited-time President's Day offer. That's right. Folks, if you want to do this, if you've been holding back, if you've been delaying pulling the trigger, now is the time to take your rest seriously. We just got our new Casper mattresses, and we tried them out. They are so soft. They're so comfortable. Because Casper isn't just a mattress company. They offer sheets, pillows, bed frames, and even dog beds, so everyone in the family sleeps comfier than ever before. They've got three mattress lines to choose from. The original Casper, the innovative Wave, and the streamlined Essential. Casper offers free delivery and painless return with a 100-day period, so you don't have to lie down in a showroom. If you've ever tried to do the bed shopping where you go into a store and you lie down for 45 seconds, and that's supposed to determine what you sleep on for the next 10 years, don't! Why not try it in your home, on your bed frame, in your environment? That's what Casper is giving you the ability to do. Please take advantage of it. Now, considering that we do spend one-third of our lives on a mattress, it's so important to truly sleep on a mattress before committing, and that's why Casper gives you that 100 nights to try it out. Now, for a limited time, visit casper.com/savings. That's casper.com/savings, and receive up to $200 off your purchase of $2,000 or more. This special offer begins February 9th and expires February 20th, 2018, so don't wait. Terms and conditions apply. Visit casper.com/terms for more details. Again, that's up to $200 off your purchase of $2,000 or more by going to casper.com/savings. Again, this special offer expires February 20th, 2018, so don't delay. Sleep better today. And we thank Casper for their support of Know How.
I love my Casper.
That's nice, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because I was the same way. I mean, well, I'm in the Jesuits, and so we just kind of had the beds that we had. And they, like, the where I'm moving in Rome, I am pretty sure that bed's been there since the 1700s.
You need a Casper.
It's a little long in the tooth. But the first time I got actually went and bought a decent bed, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I wasted all this time tossing and turning. Why not get something that's great?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Jason, let's not talk about that anymore. In fact, let's go ahead and move to what I love, which is the fun part of flying. I've got some batteries here for us to fly.
Okay.
You're going to take your SEMA. I'm going to take my little Extreme, and I've pulled off the FPV parts. Let's go ahead and head over to the other side of the studio so that we can go over some basic flight mechanics.
All right.
Shall we?
Am I taking all this stuff?
No, just take your SEMA and, okay, and your transmitter. Now, when we have done our quad projects in the past, we've always made sure to include a little bit of training. Because the whole idea is you can't just pick up a quad and start flying. Okay. In fact, even if you've got one of these trainers, it's still this there we go. we're playing.
I don't know where to be.
Look and see. It's still the ability. It's still a matter of figuring out exactly how it flies. And you're going to crash. We say that you learn when you crash. Well, crash a lot, learn a lot. So I'm going to go and put mine on the ground.
Turn it on.
Yeah, turn yours on. Put it on the ground.
Okay.
And I'm going to sync mine up. Okay, I'm good. And tell me. Okay.
It's still doing its thing. It's blinking. It's blinking.
Yeah,
oh.
And up and down.
You know.
And so just put your throttle up and down. There. Oh, okay. Then stay down.
Okay.
All right. So here's what I want you to do. You're going to stand over there. Walk to the side. So move your drone off a little bit to that side.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Actually, move it a tiny bit more.
Even more?
Yeah.
All right.
There we go. All right. So here's what we want to do. I want you to follow what I'm doing. We're going to take the drone. We're going to take it off. And they're going to move it in front of us and just hover there. You're going to try to hold a position in front of you as much as possible. In fact, take a step back so that you're, because you're taller than
I'm tall.
Take like four steps back.
Oh.
Now we're almost the same height. Okay. So let's go ahead and just like this. So you have to throttle, you feather the throttle and constantly adjust in order to keep it there. Now this seems really rudimentary. But I always tell people, look, burn a battery or two just doing this, because there were people early on in our drone projects who were upset that they couldn't just take their hands off the controls and the drone would stay where they
right.
left
it. Yeah, it kind of feels like you should be able to do that. I'm sure there are drones, quadcopters that allow you to do that, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you know, I've got one right over there that hooks up via an app. But the thing is, the reason why we start with these trainers is we don't want all that electronic assist. We want people to understand how they fly. And if I wasn't doing this, there would have to be a controller that was making the same inputs, because I'm flying through turbulence. I'm flying through different types of air. Like, if I move over yours, suddenly you're getting the downdraft from my craft.
Hey, what are you doing? See?
And it changes the way that you fly. So this is, you know, this is one of those things. I would tell people at least once a day, you know, spend one or two batteries just doing this, just hovering it, just putting it in front of you and trying to maintain a spot.
Yeah. And I see what you mean, though, because, I mean, even in the few days that I've spent kind of playing around with this thing, before it was a foreign language thinking of my left hand as controlling the up and down and kind of the rotational thing, and my right hand being the direction. Now it's feeling a little bit more innate, you know, it's kind of, I'm not thinking about it as much. I'm just kind of doing with my left hand to raise and lower, and, you know, there was even a point where it wasn't rotated properly, and I just thought that, you know, it's working a little bit more. It's clicking without me having to think about it.
Exactly. That, and that comes with practice, because eventually you don't want to think, oh, it's getting too low. I need to move my left hand on the throttle. No, it's just like, oh, at throttle, and your fingers just move automatically.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the first thing. Here's the second exercise. Go ahead. So grab your quad. You want it again on your side.
I always have to remind myself not to have my thumb right here when I pick it up.
Yeah, and actually,
I don't want to die.
What we would typically do is we would disarm our quadcopters. There's no disarm on this, but I can actually stick my hands into the blades and it doesn't hurt me. So, but once you start getting into the larger ones, you would never do that because you would lose fingers. So,
yeah, don't want to do that. I like fingers.
This is called a do-si-do. So what? Don't fly yours yet. What you want to do is you're going to take off just like before, and you're going to move from the right to the left, to the right, to the left,
to the right,
and you just want to just keep doing that, right? So you're trying to orient your quadcopter so that you're on the right side for a while, then you're on the left side for the while, and try to not move positions until you're steady. So you don't want the quad to be out of control, yo-yoing back and forth. You want it's here, I'm stable. It's here, I'm stable. So go ahead and try yours.
And are you doing any left to right rotational stuff?
Nope, when you're
doing
not this? Yet.
It's
not
just
yet.
Things. Yep. So, okay.
Yeah, yaw gets added in later. No, good. You're doing fine. Okay, see, what happened? You started to yaw there. So
I panicked, totally.
So you got self-conscious.
Yes. Yes.
I did that.
Okay.
So just...
Okay. I see what you mean, though. It's a mental gymnastics sort of thing. It's... I see what you mean. Like, it's really kind of like disconnecting my thinking about it, trying to not overthink it and allow my hands to do what feels natural the more you do it. You know what I mean? Cool. Okay. I can see how that would be really beneficial doing this. It kind of forces your brain to think about it differently.
And so, burn two batteries doing the hovering, burn a battery doing this. Now, here's one. If you could step a little back and take your quad. And then you're going to repeat after me. So this is just called walking the dog.
Okay.
So all we want to do is we want to pick a side. I'm going to pick my right side. So I want my quad on my right side. And I'm just going to go for a walk. But I'm going to try to keep it at the same distance. So as I walk, I'm just going to keep my quad about the same distance from me at the same speed. I'll have to keep adjusting. And then I'm going to have to yaw when I go back the other way.
Oh,
so I had to turn my quad the other way so that it stays in the nose out position.
Okay.
And just keep going back and forth. So walk the dog, down the block, and then back. So go ahead and take my position.
Do I throw it out like you did?
No. You can take off from the ground.
That feels like an advanced move that I'm not quite ready for.
Okay.
So take it off.
And it's got to be to my right side.
Yeah, so take off and then bring it back a tiny bit. Okay, and this, yeah, there you go. Just stay comfortable. Stay comfortable.
Come on, little dude. Come on.
Okay, and then you got to go to the other side. Now you have to yaw it. There we go. So it stays nose up. Okay. So reset. Okay. So this is why this is more advanced, because you're now adding that yaw control.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of threw me off a little bit. All right. I think I can do this. Come on, guy. You got it. Stay with me. Stay with. No.
No. Bad quad.
Bad.
As Furball UK says, this is drone walkies. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good. Yes. Totally normal. Because what you're doing right now, this is called nose in, nose out. This is what baffles people, because in a quad with no electronic assist, and even some that do have electronic assist, as long as you're staring at it like this.
So your controls match.
My controls match. I go forward on the controls, it goes forward, back, left, right, same thing. The second I flip it around, my controls are now inverted except for throttle.
Are you at the point to where when that happens, you're like, yeah, no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as I can see the lights, I'm cool.
Okay.
Because I know how to reorient it.
Hmm.
But it takes a while to get to that point. So that's it. Give it another walkies. Give it another drone walkies.
Come on, let's go for a walk here, boy. Come on.
Okay.
Such a good boy. Who's a good boy?
No.
Bad boy. Bad drone.
Bad. No, you're doing good now. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you. Okay.
Okay. Now, do you want one more?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
this is fun.
So take a step back. This is the circle of death.
Oh, well, maybe not.
You're gonna keep your drone pointing nose out. So you have to see the green lights on your drone at all times.
Okay.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to rotate it around us as we turn.
So now, it's yawn the whole time.
It's the whole thing. So this is kind of, I'm a little low on battery, but let's see. This is kind of how it has to work. It's harder on this because there's not enough performance. But so.
Oh, my goodness. Look at you.
You kind of want to stay the equal distance. Unfortunately, this is a really short circle, so it's hard to do. But see, this requires you to work all the controls at the same time.
Dang.
Okay, now, you don't have to go that fast. You can go a little bit at a time.
I might not have a choice.
But take the center stage
and
do your circle of death.
Why does it have to be called circle of death? Okay, I'll just kind of get comfortable a little bit.
Okay. It's okay.
No.
Your drone
bad
is-
SEMA. Okay, this is really hard. This one's not
this,
easy.
No, this one's difficult. This one's difficult.
I can't get my brain to think about this one.
Yeah, and that's why, because now you have to put all the controls together. You're going to be feathering the throttle. You're going to be hitting yaw, and you're going to be doing directional control.
Whoa!
I really thought I could just barrel through it, but no, I couldn't.
Actually, you know what?
This one's a hard one.
Try mine, because mine has less weight, so it might actually respond a little bit better, although my battery just died.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. And what is the thing, the up and down? Is that just like connect right now?
Yeah, that just syncs it.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry in advance for destroying your
SEMA. That's okay. That's why I rebuild it. There we go. See, it's responding a little bit. Okay.
Dang it. This is really hard, folks.
It is. It totally is. Don't let anyone tell you that you're doing a bad job. This is a hard exercise. Good. Good. No, hey. You're doing it. You're doing it.
All right. But yes, that's as good as I have done so far. All right.
Very well done.
More or less got there.
Okay, so those are the exercises that you can do over and over again.
All right.
So again, start with the hover, move to the, do-si-do.
Yeah.
Walk the dog a little bit, or for drone walkies, And then if you're feeling up to it, do the circle of death.
Okay.
And those exercises you do if it's a trainer or if it's one of the big ones. Like I do the same thing with my 450. Especially that last exercise, it really kind of ties you in. It calibrates you to how much throttle do I have to give this thing to keep it in the air?
Yeah.
And how much yaw do I have to give it so that it always stays nose out?
I mean, that's literally everything working at one time. That's going to be a hard one to master.
It's a little tricky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's not bad.
Not impossible, though.
Now, we did have a product review, but unfortunately, we are running a little... we'd run long if I did it, so we're going to have to hold off on that. I've actually got a drone that will maintain its position. And actually, let me show it off a little bit, because I do kind of like this. I will give them points for creating this, but we'll show it off the next time we do a drone episode. This is the Rova.
Whoa.
And the whole idea is it's a drone in a cage.
Yeah.
And this is not like a SEMA class. These are actually, these are the same kind of motors that they use when we did our 150 class quadcopter.
Okay.
So these can book. But the idea is it's controlled by your phone, and it's a selfie drone. It's got a downward-facing 12-megapixel camera, and it's got a forward-facing 5-megapixel camera. So you take off via your app, mm-hmm. hover it over your group, take pictures, bring it back down, put it back in its case.
And it's super stable because it's super stable. Is this purely for safety, the cage?
Yeah. So this is the reason why it's in this cage is I can hit anything and it's not going to come in contact with the unless I take my finger
right,
and poke
put
it through the grate.
Through. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. So, you know, we talked earlier about people who think that when they should be able to take their finger off the throttle and just have it stay where it is. That's what this is.
Oh, okay.
So this has the smarts to be able to do that. We're going to take a look at this in a future episode. But,
okay.
But for now, do you feel as if you've learned up a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got your FPV on?
A little bit more comfortable. I mean, I've got a lot to learn, but
yeah.
I think those are some really great exercises. Actually, we got a dog not too long ago, and we went through the full training ritual routine, you know, week after week, work on this, work on that. This reminds me a lot of that.
Right?
Now that our dog's fully trained up, I have to train this dog.
You're training yourself.
And by that, I mean me.
Yeah. Now, folks, we know that this was a lot of information. We want to make it easier for you to get all of it in a easy-to-find place. If you want links to the FPV gear that we showed off, if you want the link to the STL files that I created so that you can mount an FPV camera on a SEMA drone, you just go to our show page, which Jason... It's over at twit.tv/KH, right?
KH for Kanohow.
Kanohow.
Yeah.
So you can Kanohow by going to KH. If you're there, by the way, we have all of our back episodes in case you missed a couple, including the few that I did with Jason where we were building up a 450 class. And you'll find the subscribe button. The subscribe button is important, folks. It helps us continue to do know-how. Subscribe to an audio version, a video version, or a high-definition video version by going to twit.tv/KH. Of course, that's not the only place you can find us. We're on socials, right? We go Google Plus.
We do the social media things.
Yeah. Specifically, if you go to Google Plus and look for Know How, we have a group, which you will be a moderator of as soon as you join. But once you join up, you get access to almost 12,000 Kitas. Those are our know-it-alls. People at all stages of their maker DIY journey. It's a great resource for those who need to ask a question or maybe a place for people to answer questions if you want to share your knowledge. Again, just go to Google Plus and look for Know How. Of course, we're also on the Twitters, right?
Individually, I am there. I've got two accounts. So there's the one that I actually check and the one that I don't. I would go to the one that I actually check, and that's at Jason Howell.
Yeah. And also, that's where you can find updates about the Yellow Gold album, which is awesome. Even while you were sick, you were still working.
Well, yeah, I'd finally sent it off to the mastering engineer and got that back, and I've been checking that on a number of different speaker systems. Then it moves on to the CD portion, so it's a little bit slower than I anticipated, but getting there.
Yeah, so follow him there. You can follow me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. There you'll find out what I'm doing when I'm not in the studio, or you could find out the updates for my new studio in Rome. I'm actually getting kind of excited about that.
Yeah,
actually,
it's a cool space.
It's a cool space. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while, actually build up a place that's custom for my my type of content. Because the one I have in San Francisco is nice, but it's so small. This is like a little library for me to do any way I want.
Yeah, cool.
And all I have to say is disco balls. Lots and lots of disco
everywhere.
Balls. Everywhere.
They actually make production kind of difficult. I don't know if you knew that, but okay.
I kind of want that. It's the perfect city. I got to have time. Also, we've got a third member of our crew. We call him Up Fries McGee.
Upfries.
Upfries. You can find Upfries at twitter.com/AN.
Excuse me, Padre. Can you step to your left a little bit? There we go. Ah. Now I can see the screen.
Oh, okay. You can find Upfries at twitter.com/ANELF3. Yeah. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And now that you know how,
do it, but don't crash.